Well, again, happy 4th of July, and again, thank you for being with us this morning. We're grateful that you are here. We are in the midst of a series looking at Jesus as the great I Am. I Am is the covenant name, or the personal name, if you will, of God. I Am is how God chose to reveal himself, which is where we get the name Yahweh. Being I Am means that God is. He is the God of the present. He is the God of the right now. He is the God of the moment. He is a God who is always and ever will be present. He's the God who has always been. He is the God who always will be. He is the God who is. All along this series, we have stated that there is never a second where God has not been God. He simply is God. As I am, God is absolute. He is the absolute reality of everything that is. All other realities find their reality in God. Everything exists because the absolute reality, who is I am, wills for it to exist. You exist and I exist because of the reality that God is. We exist because God wills for us to exist. Everything in the universe, even the universe itself, is a reality because God created it from who he is as the absolute reality. The moment that he wills for anything not to exist, then it will cease to exist. As I am, God is completely independent. He has no needs. There is no need that God has. Everything else, however, that exists is needy. It is completely dependent upon God. Whereas God is dependent upon nothing or no one, we are dependent upon God. Everything is dependent upon God as the absolute reality. He is primary. Everything else is secondary. Jesus, as I am, means that he is God. And if we want to live in relationship to Jesus, we must live in relationship to Jesus as I am, because that is who he is. If we want to live in relationship with the real Jesus, with the Jesus that has revealed himself to us, then it will be in relationship to him as I am, because that is exactly who Jesus tells us he is. 13 different times in the Gospel of John, I've told you that Jesus declares himself as I am. 7 of those times in the book of John, Jesus declares himself as I am, accompanied by a metaphor to help us better understand the reality of what I am means in regards to who he is as God. And then it also helps us better understand how we are to rightly relate to Jesus as I am, or to fellowship with Jesus as I am. When you know Jesus as I am, it changes you. Jesus as I am changes who I am. We said that going way back at the beginning of this series several weeks ago, is that Jesus as I am changes who I am. We cannot be in relationship with I am and not be forever different, not be forever changed. It is life changing to know Jesus as I am. It is life altering. And so up to this point, we've looked at Jesus as I am the bread of life. We've looked at Jesus as I am the light of the world. And today our focus will be on Jesus as I am the door of the sheep. So this is how we will begin this morning. If you like to take notes and follow along on the outline, that is how your outline begins. Jesus' declaration of I am the door of the sheep. 2 different times in John chapter 10, Jesus declares, "I am the door. I am the door of the sheep." In John chapter 10, verse 7, we read, "So Jesus said to them again, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep.'" And then two verses later, in John chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus says, "I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." In John chapter 10, Jesus begins to speak to his audience with an illustration that they most certainly would be able to understand. Jesus is speaking in terms that makes complete sense to those living in the day that Jesus walked the earth, because he is speaking to a society of people in Israel in which the society during this day was primarily agrarian, meaning that it was farming, it was sheep herding, it was livestock, it was living on the land, or the land was that which many people were making their living, their profession, their culture thrived on this agrarian lifestyle. So here in John 10, when Jesus is speaking on their level about how a shepherd loves his sheep, they would have easily understood that. It would have easily been recognizable to them, or the light would have immediately come on, and it would have been an illustration. It would have been a figure of speech that Jesus certainly would have been able to connect with the people through. And so our understanding of who Jesus is, as I am, is given great clarity when he declares, "I am the door," or "I am the door of the sheep." The animal that we as believers in Scripture are most often identified with are sheep. We have more similarities to sheep than any other animal that Scripture describes us as. We have the similarity to sheep in that we need to be provided for. We need to be looked after constantly. We need to be protected. We need to be guided. We need to be nurtured. And the one who does that most effectively is a shepherd. And so here in John chapter 10, Jesus is going to reveal himself as a good shepherd. He's going to eventually say here in John 10, "I am the good shepherd." But as he's building up to this truth of being the good shepherd, he tells us, "I am the door of the sheep." Or some of your translations will read, "I am the gate of the sheep." The word that is used there for door or gate is really interchangeable in the Greek language for either word, either a door or a gate. Knowing Jesus as the door is life-changing. By nature, a door creates division. When you think about a door, there is a division that is created by the door. And because of a door, you are either on the inside or you are on the outside. When you stand looking at a door, you will find yourself in one of two places. I'm either on the inside of where that door leads to, or I stand on the outside of what that door is leading to. And what Jesus is telling us as the door is, he's saying there is a difference between being on the inside and living life in relationship with Christ and being on the outside and living life apart from a relationship with Christ. Life is vastly different on the inside of the door versus life on the outside of the door. That's what Jesus is wanting us to see in this metaphor of him using, "I am the door of the sheep." Jesus capitalizes on this truth by giving us spiritual insight about the reality of who he is as as a door of the sheep. So let's spend our time together this morning trying to better understand what Jesus as the door means. What does he want us to see, or what does he want us to grasp about the reality of who he is in regards to how he wants us to live that reality out in relationship with him? And the first thing Jesus as the door means is that he is the passageway to salvation. Jesus is the passageway to salvation. This is what Jesus makes very clear for us in John chapter 10, verse 9, when he says, "I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved." The door for the sheep was the passageway for them to enter into a pen or a sheepfold. A sheepfold was an enclosure that was often surrounded by a wall of rocks. It could be man-made, but oftentimes in Israel, they would find a wall of rocks that had one entrance, one entryway that would serve as a sheepfold or a sheep pen by which the sheep would be able to be guarded, be protected, stay safe, especially during the evening hours. The shepherd would often station himself at the narrow entryway to the sheepfold, becoming really a human door or a human gate. There was only one entrance, one way in, and it was through this entryway, through this door. There was no other entryway, was no other entrance except through him, through the shepherd. And when Jesus claims to be the door of the sheep, he is claiming to be the passageway to salvation. He is claiming to be the passageway or entrance, if you will, to the Father. Jesus' declaration of "I am the door" is a statement of exclusivity. As the door, he is the only entrance to salvation, and any other way is not. Any other way is not the entrance. And so when Jesus says, "I am the door," and again, it is not a statement, "I am a door," as if there are other doors that you could enter through. He is the door. It's a statement of exclusivity, saying that I am the only entrance into the kingdom of God. If you want to be a part of this flock, if you want to be a part of this sheepfold in which my sheep dwell, in which my people are brought into the kingdom of God, then it happens only through Jesus as the entry way. Any other way will not bring entrance, or will not lead to an entrance into salvation, where our sin is forgiven, where we become a child of God and we have access to the Father, where we have the assurance of eternal life. There is only one door to the sheepfold. Anyone who tries to get in by another way, Jesus says, is a thief or a robber. He doesn't belong in that sheepfold. If you back up to John chapter 10, verse 1, Jesus says, "He who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber." If the sheep are the Lord's people and the sheepfold is the place where they find salvation and protection, then Jesus, as the door and the only means of access, is claiming exclusivity. He's claiming, "I'm it." There's not a lot of ways to heaven. There's not a lot of ways into this sheepfold. There is only one way, and it is through Jesus, the door, because he is the passageway to salvation. This is exactly what Jesus says again later in John 14:6 that we will be looking at in a couple of weeks. But Jesus declares in John 14:6 that he is the way, not a way, but he is the way. And he says, "No one comes to the Father but through me." That's what it means for Jesus to be the door. We live in a world today that wants to promote tolerance. Tolerance, however, at the cost of truth is deadly. And Jesus wants us to see this. He wants us to know this. When it comes to our salvation, the mentality of what is true for you may not be true for me is deadly. Sometimes people have this mentality, well, if Jesus is the way that you want to get to heaven, that's fine. This is the way that I have chosen to follow in order to get to heaven. And there is this mentality of let's be tolerant of our different beliefs where our salvation is concerned so that we can coexist, believing that in this coexistence of tolerance, we will all end up in the same place. Well, that simply is not true if you believe Jesus. Because he says, I am the door. I am the way. You know, the what is true for you may not be true for me mentality doesn't work when you start talking about money or when you start talking about measurements. You know, people who want to claim a tolerance and what is true for you may not be true for me and vice versa. When it comes to money, you're going to find real quick that they believe in absolutes. So if I owe you $100 and I come to you and I give you $10, you're going to look at me and say, this doesn't work. But what if I say, oh, but $10 in my mind is equal to $100. We just are looking at it differently. Well, all of a sudden, you're going to say, absolutely not. And you're going to become a real quick believer in absolutes. Because you're going to say real quickly, $10 absolutely does not equal $100. I don't care what you believe. I don't care what math you want to use. I don't care what you think is true for you. This is not reality. The same is true in measurements, right? If you have a carpenter and you're going to pay a carpenter to come to your house, and let's just say you've hired out a carpenter to build you a door. You leave trusting that the carpenter is going to build you a door. You come back and you find that the carpenter has built a door that is 3 inches wide and 7 inches tall. And you're going to look at that door and you're going to immediately think, what have I just paid for? As a matter of fact, you're going to not pay for it. And you're going to say something to the carpenter. You're going to say, wait a minute, there is something off here. There is something wrong here. The door should be 3 foot wide and 7 feet high. And if the carpenter comes back to you and says, what does it really matter? Inches, feet, what's inches to me, feet to you, it doesn't really matter. You're going to become a real quick believer in absolutes. True? You're going to believe absolutely that an inch is not the same as a foot. It doesn't matter what you believe or what I believe. There's a reality. There's an absolute that is going to hold to this truth. And that is exactly what Jesus wants us to see. When it comes to our salvation, you better believe that there are absolutes. You better believe that there is the truth that we only can enter into salvation through the door, which is Jesus Christ. I am the door is a statement of exclusivity. It's a statement of absolute reality where our salvation is concerned. There is no other means of entrance into the kingdom of God. I am the door is a statement where Jesus is exclusively saying that he is the only way. Now, it's a statement of exclusivity, but it's a statement of exclusivity by which the door is open for all people. People of all races, all creeds, all backgrounds. But it doesn't matter where you're from, where you are from, what part of the globe you're from. It doesn't matter what background you have. It doesn't matter anything about who you are other than the fact if you want to enter and come a part of the kingdom of God or have the salvation that God offers, you must enter through the door. And his name is Jesus Christ. A second thing Jesus as the door means is that Jesus as the door means protection. It means protection for his sheep. The whole idea of salvation carries with it the idea of protection. In John chapter 10, verse 8, Jesus says, "All who come before me are thieves and robbers." And then in the first part of John 10:10, Jesus says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy." There are many dangers in the world that want to harm us, that want to destroy us. The world is wrought or filled with dangers of every kind. Knowing Jesus as the door and as the entryway to salvation is meant as a means to protect us. As you enter through Jesus as the door, you will find protection for your soul. You will find a protection or a safety that will guarantee to protect you from all who want to harm or destroy you. So as the door, Jesus says, "I am the one who will protect you from all who want to harm you, from all who want to destroy you." There are many false teachers, many false religions in the world that are meant to destroy us. And those false teachings, those false religions are meant to destroy us by keeping us from entering the door of salvation through Jesus Christ. And behind every false religion, behind every false teaching, there is the ultimate thief. His name is Satan, and he wants to do everything he can to steal, to kill, and to destroy us. And as the door, Jesus is the guardian. He's the protector of our souls. When we enter into the sheepfold of salvation through Jesus Christ, we are told in Luke chapter 21, verse 18, "Not a hair of your head will perish." That is the protection that Jesus gives us as the door. Once we enter through, he says, nothing will harm you. Not even a hair of your head will ever perish. Not really. He says, that is how protected you will be. If you go to Romans chapter 8, verse 35 and verses 37 through 39, we are told, who will separate us from the love of Christ? And then there's a list of all of these things that want to harm us, of all of these things that want to try to keep us from entering through the door of salvation, the door that is Jesus Christ. And it says, will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him, through Jesus, who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Which is in Christ Jesus our door. The door. As the door, Jesus saves us from every enemy that would destroy us. And this protection as the door is not just a temporary protection, it is an eternal protection. As the door, Jesus keeps your salvation eternally secure. In other words, with Jesus as the door, you are eternally safe when you enter through. Jesus says as much in John chapter 10, verse 28, when he says, "I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, Paul says, "I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day." We can absolutely know and trust that as the door, we are forever safe. We are forever guarded. We are forever protected in Jesus Christ. There is an eternal security by which we will have a peace and a comfort forever, knowing that our salvation is safe and secure, and nothing can take it away because it's being guarded, it's being protected by Jesus himself. You know, one of the, again, pictures or the illustrations that Jesus gives us as the door is when that shepherd lays down at the narrow entryway to that sheepfold, nothing gets by that shepherd. Nothing is going to come in to that sheepfold to harm those sheep, because the shepherd stands guard. He is the protector. And Jesus, as our door, the door that is the great I am, he says, you are forever safe in me. Amen. Isn't that a blessing? To know that I am forever safe in Christ. So what a blessing it is to know that every day when I wake up, there is nothing that is going to happen to me today by which my eternal security can be jeopardized. That is such an incredible blessing that God has given to us in Scripture. That is the picture that Jesus wants us to rest in, to have security in, to be assured of. As Jesus, as my door, there is an eternal security by which I will forever be able to have peace and comfort, knowing that I am forever safe, eternally safe. No matter what might happen, nothing is going to jeopardize my eternal security with Jesus as the door. And Jesus as the door also means abundant life for his sheep. Jesus doesn't save us just to keep us safe. We are saved for so much more than just merely being safe. Yes, Jesus gives us a safety. Yes, Jesus gives us a security. The Christian life, however, is not merely being saved from danger. It is also a salvation to live abundantly, to live deeply, to live a life that is overflowing with joy and gladness. This is what Jesus means when he says in John 10:9, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will go in and out and find pasture. In other words, Jesus doesn't intend for us to just stay hunkered down. In John 10:10, when he says, I've come to give you life and I've come to give it to you abundantly, it means that he wants us to live in a safety, in a security of knowing that I am forever secure and that now I can live fully, completely in the joy and the gladness that he has given me to live. I put on your outline that I am the door means his sheep are free to thrive, feasting in pastures of infinite delight. As the door, we are free to come in and out of go out of the sheepfold to feast in pastures of infinite joy and delight. God wants his sheep to thrive at every level of life, at every level of living. This is why Psalm 36:8 says, they drink their fill of the abundance of your house, and you will give them to drink of the river of your delights. God has pastures. He has rivers of infinite delight that he wants us to feast upon. So once we enter through the door, that means now we have eternal security, and he has sent us into the world, back out into the world, to feast in the pastures, to drink from the rivers of his delights, where we can now forever enjoy the God who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. That's what 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 says. It says, instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. In Jesus as the door, we have a rich supply of infinite joys to forever enjoy. God doesn't want us to merely stay hunkered down, but he wants us to go out and to live abundantly. As his sheep, we do not just rest in the safety of the fold, but we live counterculturally in the fields of this world, bearing witness to our soul's satisfaction. So as long as Jesus has left us here in this world, he doesn't want us just to hunker down. God has not saved us to stay here in this life and to live in isolation or to live in a holy huddle. But he lives, or he wants us to live, making a difference in this world as the salt of the earth and as the light of the world. He wants us to bear witness of Jesus as our soul satisfaction. There are so many things that this world promises to fill us with. There are so many things that this world promises will bring us fulfillment, will bring us joy. And in every one of those promises, through all the things of the world, they disappoint. They don't satisfy. And Jesus says, I will be as the door by which you enter into and exit from to go back out into the world. I will be your source of infinite joy and gladness. This is why Jesus says in John chapter 17, verse 13, these things I speak in the world so that they may have my joy made full in themselves. Our joy is made full when it is a joy that is found in Jesus as the door that we've entered into for our salvation. Just as the Father sent Jesus into the world, Jesus says, I send you into the world. John 17, 18, Jesus is praying to God the Father, and he says, as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. We've been sent into the world to be a witness of Jesus as the one who forever satisfies our soul. He is our delight. We drink from the river of his infinite pleasure, and we feast in the pastures of his infinite delight. And finally, Jesus is the door means a decision must be made. Again, if you look back here in John chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus says, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved. So we must enter through Jesus. In other words, there is an entrance that has to take place on our part. If we're going to experience the abundant life of salvation that Jesus offers, then we must enter. We can't stay on the outside. We have to walk through the door. We have to walk through the passageway. We have to walk through the entrance that is Jesus Christ. As the door, Jesus is a place of decision. Will you choose to enter through the door? That is the question that we will end on this morning. In Luke chapter 13, verse 24, Jesus says, strive to enter through the narrow door. We all must make a decision to believe that Jesus is the door, that he's the door to eternal safety. We must believe that he is the door to soul-satisfying pastures and to rivers of infinite delight. We must believe that he is the only door to God. And then upon believing, we must enter by repenting of our sin, placing our faith and trust in all that Jesus is for us and in the salvation that he has given us alone through faith and trust in him. And so my question to you today, if you are here, or if you're watching online, if you have not yet entered through the door, through Jesus Christ, will you choose to do so today? Will today be the day that you've entered through? And if you say, I've already entered through the door, then are you living in such a way that you are showing the rest of the world what it means to have Jesus as the entryway to a lifetime of infinite pleasure and delight as you feast in his pastures and you drink from his rivers? Let's pray together. Father, I pray that if there's anyone watching today or who is here today who's never entered through the door, the passageway of salvation that is Jesus Christ, I pray that today might be the day. I pray that you would move their hearts, bring a conviction to their life in such a manner that they would walk through the door. They would repent of their sin. They would confess. They would admit that they are sinners in need of forgiveness, and that that forgiveness is found only in and through Jesus Christ, and that they would place their faith, their hope, and their trust in Christ, and Christ alone, for their salvation. And for us who have entered through the door, I pray that we would be the witnesses every single day of what it means to live in the joy of knowing and being in a relationship with Jesus Christ as the door, as the great I am, who is the door of the sheep. God, we love you and we praise you and we give you all the glory for the salvation that you have offered to us, for the salvation that so many of us have received, and for the salvation that so many are yet to receive. And we pray that this would be the day that they would come to know who you are as Lord and Savior and as the door of the sheep. And we will pray it and we will ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.